to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
This is an encore presentation of the WHFR Journal, which aired last month on April 11 during our WHFR Radiothon. And you can still donate if you want to by going to our website, WHFR.fm, and pull down the Donate Now menu. In the meantime, let's listen to Susan McGraw, Jay Koronek, Richard Pyatt, and yours truly occasionally chiming in for the WHFR Journal Encore Edition. And as you just heard, you're listening to WHFR Dearborn, and it's Radiothon week, and it's the WHFR Journal, and with us, your hostess with the mostest, here she is, Susan McGraw.
Why, thank you, Bob, and happy Radiothon week to you as well. You have been doing a marathon this week, as have most of our staff, and we are so grateful for the opportunity to do so and to keep things rolling on this Friday, the Friday of Radiothon, a fun extra opportunity to do a live journal, bring in some familiar voices, familiar faces to me, always a pleasure. And we're going to have a couple of surprise guests and also, I think, a couple of surprise little recordings coming here and there.
So indeed.
Should be fun. Should be fun. Well, let's introduce what we've got going on this week. This will be sort of a melting pot of a program today. We're going to kind of jump around, but foundationally, it's all about helping you help us, supporting us for Radiothon 2025. We are celebrating our 40th year on the air. The official party, at least the official birthday.
Woo! Hey.
Thank you. Takes place on December 20th, and we're going to be doing some big things. Can't announce them just yet. Forthcoming. But we really wanted to make sure that this Radiothon pledge in our 40th year is extra special. We have some extra special pledge incentives that we're going to talk through. You've probably been hearing about them. You just heard from our operations manager, Rob Campo, that message about the chance for first-time pledgers. Yep, talking to you if you've been listening or you just found us today for the first time and you're enjoying non-commercial educational public broadcasting here in the Dearborn, Detroit area. Well, please give us a call. 313-845-9676, 313-845-9676, or you can just jump on our website and securely make that contribution at WHFR.fm. You'll click the Donate Now button, and it will walk you through the rest. Simple process. Well, that's the business. Now let's get into the fun, and that is just a wonderful homecoming, if you will, reunion of sorts, the first of many, I'm sure, as we enjoy this 40th anniversary. We are welcoming back to the WHFR airwaves the founder, frankly, of WHFR and the founder of the WHFR Journal Show, as an absolute fact, Mr. Jay Koronek.
Hello,
Jay,
Susan.
Welcome back.
I am back.
Amazing.
How are
so
you?
Happy to have you. Well, we are well.
Once every 8 years, at least, I figure, you know.
At least, yes. Hopefully even more. And we're hoping to have a lot more of Jay Kornick on the airwaves and certainly in person here for our 40th. And so this is just the first of many, we hope. And we're going to talk a little bit about the role that Jay has played and continues to play as the number one. I thought I was the number one cheerleader, but he's the number one cheerleader and support for WHFR. And we've gone through a lot of iterations, but bigger and better, as always, thanks to this man right here. And then, sitting across from me, we have our former general manager, program host, and really Richard of all trades, Mr. Richard Pyatt.
Hi,
welcome
Susan.
Back, Richard.
And Jay and Bob. Thank you. It's lovely to be here on this occasion. 40 years. What the heck? Where did that time go?
We look good, don't we?
Yeah.
That's my angle anyway. Well, in the celebration of Radiothon and in sort of celebrating the Journal Show, which is local news and views, it has seen some changes, some flows. We know journalism is not what it used to be. We know that opportunities for hitting the hard truths and so on and so forth just don't play out quite the way we'd like them to or they used to. This program has sort of morphed, and that's because my skill set is different than Jay's skill set as well, into more focusing on positive things in the community, focusing on what's going on with the wonderful service organizations, local government, the school, of course, and kind of everything in between. Had a nice call from Jackie Lovejoy. Remember Jackie? Mm-hmm. The Chamber of Commerce former director, and she wishes us well, and we're working on some projects. Our friends from Animals of Metro Detroit, formerly the Dearborn Animal Shelter,
sure.
They wish us well. We're going to be involved for our second year in a row in their event called Pawchella. It's like Coachella, but it's for dogs and cats, and it's super. It's like, yeah, it's super fun. They actually go out on a runway and do their like little stop and pause and look, and it's all to support these local organizations. But this is the week where we hope you'll support this organization, this entity, which is your favorite non-commercial broadcasted internet station, WHFR. Jay, I mean, I don't even know where to jump in except to say that we couldn't have done any of this without you, and it's just so wonderful to see you here behind the microphones.
Well, thank you, Susan. I mean, I have to say that, you know, 40 years broadcasting on the air, and I was with WHFR for 40 years. Even though I retired 8 years ago, those first 8 years was when I was station advisor for the radio club here on campus, which started in 1962 just as a club, but their expressed goal, number one priority in their mission statement as a club, was to get a radio station on the air here at Henry Ford Community College, as it was then. Mm-hmm. And there were three advisors. I was the third station advisor. The other two did great jobs. But I had this crazy idea when I came on in 1976 that why don't we apply for a license if you want to be on the air? And, of course, the first thing we had to do, I discovered, was, well, is there any space on the dial? In other words, can we squeeze another frequency in anywhere? It turns out we could, but only exactly in this geographic area. Only right here at this campus for 15, 20-mile, 30-mile primary range. We get out a little further now, thanks to Bob and his great tech support. But so I said, this is just fate. You know, we got to apply. Mm-hmm. This is the last area in the Detroit metro area that can actually has an opening for a small independent radio station. And by golly, it only took 5 years to get the license offered. And then the college wasn't sure they wanted to accept it. That's a long story, but great fun. A couple of key administration people fought like crazy for us, and a few fought against us. I remember the dean of students, no names here, but he made the famous quote, "Oh, you can't trust students on the air." And he was dean of students, so what did he know? I mean, but that argument didn't hold, and so then we had to look for a four call letters. Well, the radio club has always been called WHFC Henry Ford College, even though it was community college in those days.
Yeah.
So we said, well, let's get those call letters. Turns out there's a station still in Baltimore, Maryland, with those call letters. And then so we got WHFR, R for radio. And then I get a call 1 week after we're on the air in late 85 there, late December, from an engineer, retired engineer from Ford Motor Company. And he said, I tried to tell Henry Ford back in 1942 that he should have a radio station, and we could call use the call letters HFR, Henry Ford's radio station.
Of course.
I mean, and so, I mean, it just everything fell in place with the help of about 50 people in the community, including mayors and board members and business leaders. And in fact, it took I had to do ascertainment, which was then before when we applied. So we had to go around and interview all these people asking key questions. Do you think we need a radio station, independent station, a non-commercial station in this area? Hmm. And I guess I was persuasive enough, but they thought it was a great idea. So I had all these great documents, almost 60, in fact, of these ascertainments. And the FCC gave us the license. But, you know, it took a while for the college to figure out they wanted to do it and how they wanted to do it. And so that's why in the first years we had to be pre-recorded all by our students, by mm-hmm. our staff, but just to make sure programming was high quality, and we rotated that. And you, Susan McGraw, were the first live WHFR DJ in February 1986. Started a show called Wednesday Night Live. We didn't want to do Saturday Night Live, so it was only 3 hours long, but there she is.
Woohoo! Wow. Here I am.
Yep.
And the rest is history, as they say.
So absolutely.
Some of us have come and gone and come again, and some of us have never left.
Yeah, that's true.
Isn't that the way it
is? And yet the goal and the purpose of independent broadcasting, not being beholden to commercial interests, and business interests, but to help the whole community and to provide unique programming. I like to think of it as alternative, but today that has a strange connotation, alternative, you know. But many points of view. I think those are good things. So
that said, wow. We're going to bring Richard into this discussion. But first, I think what I'd like to do, Bob, is let's just jump into the archives a little bit and hear a little pitch. Richard, you've done such a good job over the years of pitching during Radiothon. We thought we'd do a little nostalgia here in our 40th year and take you back to 1996.
How many tapes did you have to go through?
Well, it was a little bit of the two of you, but Bob, let's run that.
Mikey D did a lot of work for us, but let's go back to 1996.
We're going to take a brief intermission, and our cable TV people are going to be able to watch us standing here and moving our mouths. But Richard, why don't you run those announcements, and
yes,
we'll be
Jay,
right back
we'll
on WHFR Journal.
You're listening to WHFR 89.3 FM. And by the way, Mayor Gunn, I didn't realize your degree was in communications. We have an opening later.
Richard. It was in communications. Remember, you can order before midnight tonight. Send to WHFR 89.3 FM. Oh, I'm sorry.
The telephone number is 845-9676. If you'd like to
new car.
Show your pledge of support to 89.3 FM. We're coming to you live from Henry Ford Community College, and we will be right back. WHFR Radiothon.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Stone of WDFN Detroit's FM. You're listening to the Radiothon on 89.3 FM, WHFR, the station that's saving Detroit's airwaves.
Call 845-9676 for more information. WHFR, you're tuned to Henry Ford College Radio, the WHFR Journal, special edition of the program here at 89.3 FM. Before we turn back to Jay Koronek with our special guests, Mayor Michael Guido and Dr. Andrew Mazzara, president of Henry Ford Community College, we remind you that Radiothon 96 is made possible in part by a non-commercial grant from Adre Appliance, TV, Photo, and Sound Center. Special thanks, of course, to all of our special non-commercial sponsors for their added support for Radiothon 96 here at 89.3 FM. You're also seeing us on Channel 61, the this morning in Dearborn on Cablevision, and we appreciate your tuning in and being with us for this special edition of the WHFR Journal. We're also with Jay Koronek, our faculty advisor this morning, who has our special guests this morning as well, and we're going to go back to them in just a minute. But before we do that, I do want to remind you that there is a radiothon going on here to support WHFR, non-commercial student-operated radio from Henry Ford Community College. You can call now, 845-9676, and we'll give you more details on that in just a little while, Jay.
And there you go.
Holy macaroni, that was a long time ago.
It's a lot to unpack, huh?
Yes.
But it's all true. Well,
I forgot about the Cablevision thing. The mayor and the president were here. Mayor Guido was very good to us. Mm-hmm. He would always come in, didn't he?
Often wrote a check before he left.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah, right. Before he got out the door, we wouldn't let him out until he worked. But nonetheless, I want to commend Richard in those early days that he was with us. Besides you, Susan, he was one of the first extremely professional voices and talent overall. And
I made a few people crazy, I think, doing that.
And then, of course, he went on to a broadcast career for many years in the Kalamazoo area and the Jackson area, on the air DJ, big time ratings and commercial station in Jackson, right?
Well, Kalamazoo and Battle Creek.
Yeah. And Battle Creek, yeah, mm-hmm. Right. And but the one story I have to tell, the how professional he was and how he saved my you-know-what, was one of our Dearborn Homecoming events, which we started to do in the late 80s by cell phone. And then they gave us space for a tent, a booth, if you will, outdoors. And we had many guests, of course, that came by at Dearborn Homecoming. So one homecoming event, and Richard was right there at the booth with me broadcasting, and Mayor Guido, just talking about the mayor, he had just done an interview with us, I think the day before or whatever, and he's coming down, through all the different booth areas, and with him is the governor of the state of Michigan, Governor John Engler at that time. Mm-hmm. Who I have to say I did not respect. He had just got done like 6 months before cutting out welfare checks for people in Michigan after the first year, I think it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't indefinite anymore. Let him find a job. You know, I don't know. He didn't say that directly, but most broadcasters, didn't want to interview him too much after that negative image there. So here he comes with Guido, and Guido's waving. I got the governor to put him on the air. And I'm thinking, oh, I got panic attack for the first time in my life, and I'm all choked up. So I'm pointing to Richard. You got to do it. You got to do it. Because I couldn't think of anything other than, I don't like you, sir. I don't want to say that, you know, and he's the governor and so on. And Richard just grabbed the microphone and pulled the governor aside and put his arm around him, I think, and just ad-libbed because he's up to date on all the latest news and events and turns. And he came up with fantastic questions, a 5 or 10 minute interview, just as smooth as silk, total professional. And I said, you got to get paid some decent money someday, Richard.
That's going to happen.
You have the big T, which is talent, you know. And he did. And you know, not that he started at WHFR. He always had the talent, I think. And he just further demonstrated it at WHFR. So
thank you.
I don't know what your reflection on the day was, but I was so thankful. We talk about being grateful in your life, and I was so grateful after we handled Governor Engler so professionally.
Well, thank you. Here's my version of that story. So we were at homecoming, Ford Field, all the tents, mm-hmm. right? And Jay is running down the pathway and says, the governor's coming. You got to interview him. So... you know, there was some strike of fear in me, but okay, well, mm-hmm. and unlike what Jay said, I'm not sure I knew what to ask. I don't know if I'd ever done a live interview like that at that point, but here's my point that I was going to make about this story, because I had it in my head too. So that's what you support when you pledge support to WHFR. There were some people here, and are, I'm sure, who had a notion for a career in this business And so this provided the opportunity. And then people like Jay and people like Susan, who are here to foster the opportunities like what was just described for students who had a dream to do this. And these folks are here to help sort of create those opportunities for them to gain experience, gain confidence, and maybe gain a career. So that happened to Richard. But one that day, I don't remember what I asked him. I don't know what I thought to ask him at that moment. But I remember the strike of fear that happened when you did that.
Sure.
But that was the first time. And I went on to work in Kalamazoo, and I interviewed him again a few times more after that. I don't think he remembered, but, you know. But it was the beginning.
Let me do a radiothon plug as long as we're at it here. We're all sitting in Studio A right now, and Bob's here, but he can run to get the telephone if you want to call 313-845-9676. However, is it option one? Yeah, yes. Option one. And however, of course, go online to our wild and crazy website address, whfr.fm. How many radio stations are .fm? Not .com, not .org. We're special. It's on all of our bumper stickers, whfr.fm. So you can make a donation right there, right now. And boy, there's some great little pledge incentives if you're into that sort of stuff. Although any pledge amount is fine. We love you out there, and I hope you understand what we're doing here to help the students. And it's not just in radio either. I mean, Richard, your career morphed into public relations several times. And now you're an entrepreneur. You have your own business. It's media-oriented. And, of course, the technology here is fantastic. I mean, yes, we use computers on the air. And there's big-time audio mixing boards that are right here in Studio A, too. And you get to learn a lot of the technology as well as the organization behind these media experiences. And so it's a great thing to support. We don't take any commercial money. College gives us a little money from the Student Activities Fund. Yep. And we make up the difference. And you make up the difference. So please, go to our website. That's the best place to go. And also look at the special incentives for our 40th anniversary year of broadcasting, WHFR.FM.
Thank you so much. And that's what we're doing right now, 21 minutes after the hour, live, the WHFR Journal on this Friday afternoon. Beautiful day and a beautiful celebration of this very radio station. We're going to do a quick swap, and we're going to bring in Steve Glazer, who is the head of Fine and Performing Arts and also the head of the Sisson Art Gallery, another gem here at Henry Ford College, and currently the 2025 annual Student Visual Arts Exhibition is taking place. So we're going to ask Steve for 5 minutes of his time. So Steve, if you want to make your way into the station, he is out in the green room, if you will. And in the meantime, we're going to hear Jay's voice again, this time from 1998. And Jay's going to share a little insight on how the WHFR facility, which started in a small room here in this very building, we call the M building, and it is the John McDonald Student Center and Culinary Arts Building, named after, yes, John McDonald, our wonderful former union leader and just incredible person. And we then moved over to Fine Arts for a while into the basement, where Steve and I kind of currently live most of the time. And then we made our way back to this beautiful facility. And let's hear Jay tell that story in his own words.
Back in 1985, we were WHFR. The jacket hanging behind me shows the call letters at that time, which is WHFC. We weren't able to get those call letters when we went on the air in 85. But at that time, and for 13 years before then, we were in fact a public address system in the Student Center building, just broadcasting to the large dining room there in that building, and those are the only people that could hear us. That was how we got our experience and proved that we could impress an audience with our DJ ability, also impress the administration with our discipline. The Student Center building now is under renovation. Many of the facilities that were in the building, the registrar's office, the college store, the security office, have now been relocated to a new facility on campus. And because of that, there is available space for us to go back in with our current operation, which is about 1,200 square feet altogether. And we're very happy that that opportunity came up. So it will solve the several problems that we have and make it a much more accessible facility for community guests, musicians, and even for our own staff to access. The plans for that remodeling haven't really been completed yet. And for that matter, the funding for that remodeling is not in the current year's budget. So we expect that perhaps in 2 years, by the fall of the year 2000, we will be able to move into the newly renovated facility.
And 25 years later, here we are, enjoying this amazing 25 years in this location. Hard to believe. It feels like it was literally not that long ago.
Remember the promotion connection? The slogan was, support our move. And we had a cow.
A little squeezy
WHFR cows. Little squishy cow.
I still have it.
Yep. I think we've got one in the pasture out in the office side, as a matter of fact, here as
we,
well.
We love puns here, you know, if possible.
Nobody loves them more than you, Jay. Well, and that's why we're so happy to have you back today. We are celebrating Radiothon 2025. Again, WHFR.FM is the website to pledge your support. And you're always welcome to give us a call, 313-845-9676, option one. WHFR supports not only future broadcasters and those that are interested in making a positive impact in the world through media, but it is housed under the Media Communication Arts Department, which has, you should see our TV studio, by the way, mm-hmm. Jack. Things are looking great. We've got podcast studios. We have a TV studio. We have a Foley room. We have a control room. And all of these things beautifully complement our crown jewel, which is WHFR radio. That falls under the School of Liberal Arts, as most people in the community know. And we share a bond, a friendship, and collegiality with our friends in fine and performing mm-hmm. arts. And that's where Steve Glazer comes in. And Steve, thanks. I know it's a hectic day for you as
hey,
well
Susan.
Today.
How
great
are you doing?
Great to have you. Thank you. So
likewise,
happy to have
likewise.
You back.
Likewise. Fun
it
to
really,
be back.
It's like it really is a reunion. This is amazing. But Steve and I, we see each other every day. But we don't see every day the student work that is up on display currently in the gallery.
Renovated Sisson Gallery, which was so long needed, and finally, yeah, we have our large student show, which we select. Each faculty member selects the best work from their classes from throughout the school year, so it's not like a small exhibition of just a few pieces. Actually, I counted them this morning for Kurt Krug, our PR person, that there's 197 pieces, distinct pieces, plus I think a half dozen short animation type videos done by students, so it's a little over 200 pieces total. And then we had two outside jurors come in to each select a first, second, and third place, one in graphic design and one in studio art.
That's amazing. What are you seeing that these students are excelling at these days, Steve? You've been here not quite as long as Jay, probably almost as long as me, or about the same time.
See, I came in 2004.
Mm-hmm. I think I have you beat, but it's all good.
Yeah.
But so tell us about what is the sort of the current state of the state of our artistic students in that area.
A lot of students come to HFC from Dearborn, Detroit, and downriver suburbs, some from the western suburbs, but not as much. We see students coming in expecting they're going to be animators. And then they're in for a shock that in order to do that, you have to learn other skills. And some of them actually fall in love with other skills. Some never do. But I think that's part of teaching at a community college.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, it's like we have a group of really good students. It takes sometimes them to be forcefully explore other mediums. It's like, you know, my main area is ceramics, and yeah, it's a required part of the studio art program. So some people sort of backwards come in because they're forced to, and then find they love it. And same with painting and doing photography. And we have restarted our darkroom photography class, which had been dead for probably about the time Martin Anderson was associate dean. Mm-hmm. So it's like 10, 12 years.
Hmm.
or longer. And yeah, so we have a couple of students and it's like, wow, this is really cool, working in the darkroom and watching the picture just like come magically appear on a sheet of paper. And it's like, and if you've done photography, like I learned how to do photography in graduate school in late 70s, early 80s, and it's like, okay, this is nothing new, but it's like, it's new to them because they're so used to like just everything's digital. And then, but then on the other side of the house, actually the other side of the hallway from my classrooms are the graphic design. And we have students that come in thinking right from the get-go that they're going to be graphic designers. And that's cool. But then there's other people that, you know, take a class and fall in love with, you know, doing that type of thing, which is cool also.
Well, this exhibit is just beautiful, and it goes, as I understand, through the 28th?
No.
That's the visiting student. That's right. That one comes just after, doesn't it?
Amazing. The graduating students.
Through the 19th.
Yeah, this is the 19th, which is Saturday, so we often don't have the gallery open on Saturdays, but for important shows, I take a turn sitting in the gallery, so I'll be in there both this Saturday, tomorrow, and then the following Saturday, the 19th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., so if people can come by on a Saturday. Students can bring their families by. If their family couldn't come, at another or to the reception.
Nice. And we know it's open, you know, during the week. Most hours we bring students in often. Mm-hmm. So through the 19th formally, and that's the Student Visual Arts Exhibition. And then you and I will talk again on the journal when we get into the graduating students exhibition, so the ones that are on their way,
on their way out.
And that's the one that kicks in April, on April 28th and goes just for a short time.
Yeah, but that's
we'll,
1 week.
We'll talk more about that one in a future edition of the show. Steve, thank you for all the work you do. And it's all the arts, right?
It's all the arts.
It's all what we do.
Yeah, we're all about the same sort of thing, your program and my programs.
Yeah.
And computer graphics, too.
Yeah. And it's like, I question why there's even the wall between us as far as different departments at times.
Yeah. Well, I know the MCA program actually has requirement to consider many of the art department classes because it does flow together so well. And, of course, there's room in every program if you're taking a degree program in these areas
to do some electives, too. Most of the programs. The studio art is so limited because that's the only way we could build a good transfer.
Of course, program. Of course.
But it's like, I wish there was a way to do that more.
More, yeah. We do the best we can, and certainly it's a holistic approach to instruction and also, again, celebrating the – we have so much more that are overlapping, you know, things in terms of the ability to be creative, the ability to, you know, try to be organic and holistic and positive and kind, and all of those things really are at the forefront of our instruction, and we believe our programs as well.
And it's your whole staff and with media communication arts and the fine performing arts, we're at a point right now with faculty that we work really good together, and that is so cool because there's been tension at times through the years with people that wanted to do things only their way.
Out with the old and with the new, we say.
it's like people that became islands.
Yeah. Speaking of in with the new, in just a moment, we're going to talk to the newest sort of member of this arts-related entourage that we're bringing through our journal show today, and that is John Michael Saffel. He is waiting in our lobby, our green room. We're going to swap you two out, Steve, so thank you for that.
Good.
And while we do that, we want to remind you that this is the WHFR Journal only here on 89.3 FM and WHFR.FM. It's not cheap to do these things. It takes money to train students for careers with the best of the best so that they are actually coming out of these programs with real-world hands-on experience, not just reading things in a book, but actually physically doing. And we need your support to keep this radio station doing what we love to do, and that is providing content and programming that really is little else heard, if at all heard, on the Detroit radio dial. So we're going to bring in John Michael, and in the meantime, we're going to hear a plug for his the performance that is forthcoming. It's called Gruesome Playground Injuries, and it's not quite what it sounds like. Bob?
Coming to the Black Box Theater at Henry Ford College, Gruesome Playground Injuries, Rajiv Joseph's tale of friendship, wounds, and healing. Follow these childhood friends over the course of 30 years as they compare the scars and calamities that keep drawing them together. Due to strong language and frank conversations about difficult topics, audience discretion is advised. Come join Kayleen and Doug for a story of injuries, the scars they leave, and the stories we gain. The play runs April 18th through the 26th here at Henry Ford College on Evergreen Road in Dearborn. Tickets are now on sale through the college website, hfcc.edu. For more information, call 313-845-6478. That's 313-845-6478.
It is such a pleasure to have literally just we scooped every other media outlet in anywhere because this is the first time this piece aired. And we are so excited about this promo running because it is sort of for students, by students, from students. And that really is what John Michael Sofell represents. Welcome to the Journal live for the first time, I think.
I'm so excited. I've been on before, but this is the first live. So thank you.
Yes, we're so happy to have you here, John Michael. And it is my honor to have you meet some of the founding members of what has made this radio station so special and so great. In fact, I'm going to tell you a secret, so don't tell anybody else. But, we have Studio A, we have Studio B, and over there we have Studio J. There's J. Only we mask that with just the letter J. So don't tell anybody that I've just told you that story, because nobody's supposed
sealed.
To know that.
We know what it means.
So there's the J in Studio J. Quite an honor. It is an honor to have you here. Gruesome Playground Injuries is just the latest of so much wonderful content coming out of our theater area since you have been with us. And we're just so excited and proud of what we're seeing this theater area morph into. We hear rumor that this could in fact be the most profound piece yet.
I will toot their horns, if not my own, certainly. The work that these two have done is just glorious. I just want to say, while I was waiting to come in, I was listening to your conversation with Steve just now, and this conversation about kindness and being there for each other. And it is... it's really sometimes easy to be very kind to each other when the sun is shining and everything's okay. But the idea of being there for each other in the really rough times, I think, is the message that that we all need, both to remind ourselves to be there for others and to allow others to be there for us. And so this play, I can understand why a listener may hear the title Gruesome Playground Injuries and be a little worried. But as I've been saying, as I've been talking about this piece, it really is gruesome playground recoveries and this idea of picking someone up after they've fallen. Every time we meet these two, it is immediately after an injury of some sort. And these two lifelong friends are there and help each other get through that and help each other onto the path of healing.
It is a limited run, and it is limited seating in the beautiful Black Box Theater here on the Evergreen Road campus of Henry Ford College. How do we get tickets, and when can we see this?
Yeah, outstanding question. Get those tickets now, because it is limited, and those tickets are disappearing. The shows are the 18th, 19th, 25th, and 26th of this month at 7:30, plus one matinee, 2 p.m. on the 26th. So that's Friday, Saturday, if that makes sense. And tickets are only $10 general admission, still one of the cheapest shows in town, and yet even cheaper than that, $5 if you are associated with the college and have an ID there. So there's that, and you can get them right through our college website. The way I get to it, honestly, is I go on Google and I say Henry Ford College and Theater, and it always brings me to the right place.
Nice. I love that you two, Jay and John Michael, are getting to interact for the first time. I think if you work together, you would be fast friends, philosophically and otherwise. We have had a long-standing relationship, of course, with our HFC theater area. Jay, I wouldn't say you wouldn't recognize it, but we have, with John Michael's guidance, leadership, and support, really sort of turned this, pivoted into... almost the philosophy of WHFR, a little less well known, a little less commercial, a little less out there, but so fundamentally important in the topics that are presented and the opportunities available, made available to our students. And I just think that's a wonderful thing. So this is this makes me very happy to have you two connect, and I hope you'll have a chance to do more of this.
If I may make the collaborative plug here too, I mean, Henry Ford College, in a two-year program school, except for a couple of special nursing and health areas, we have more diversity, can I say that word? And exciting classwork as any other community college, certainly in this area. Some community colleges in Michigan have one or two areas that they're strong in, but I don't even think that a certain university next door has a theater program doing live theater. And this is just a great adjunct to get people involved, to discover what it's all about, as well as all of the media arts, of course. And if they want to, they can continue on to universities that do have great programs, like maybe Wayne State University, or go outstate to other places. And it's such a challenging beginning, and relatively small classes, relatively small campus. You won't get lost here on campus if you're a new student coming here. And it's just so exciting. It was when I was here 40 years ago, and now it's changed and grown. And guidance of with some new people like John, and we've got to keep that that special edge. And by the way, John, I have to say I've long been an advocate, and I've spoken to my small circle of friends frequently about the kindness revolution and how that's so important these days in so many ways. And that's how you're treated here at the college by, you know, certainly vast majority of the teachers, anyway, and sometimes you need a little discipline, of course, but remember, folks, you can donate to this effort to help our aspect, WHFR, of the Media Communication Arts Program. Just go to the website, that's the easiest, whfr.fm, and check out at the college website, hfcc.edu still. Mm-hmm. They still got two C's in there. They haven't figured out how to drop a C yet.
Yeah. Well, we call it actually Henry Ford College Cares.
Oh, HFCC. Beautiful.
Henry Ford College
beautiful.
Cares.
There's always some excuse. Some way to plug it. John, keep up the great work.
Thank you.
You're right on track.
And if I could piggyback slightly on what you were just saying, right. Regarding our wonderful friends at the University of Michigan Dearborn, right next door, one of the things that we have done with our theater department is extended out the Evergreen Theatrical Society, that is our theater club, called Evergreen, because that's the street that both of our colleges share, inviting students who are over there, because very sadly, they do not have a live theater program over there, so they are now able to come over here and participate in our shows. So if any of you are listening, I would love to meet you, get you involved. Many of your friends already have come over and have done some wonderful things with us. And part of that cares and kindness, reaching across this very thin strip of trees that separate out our two parking lots and really trying to connect.
Yeah, I'm so glad you shared that. Thank you. It's called Gruesome Playground Injuries by Rajiv Joseph. Next weekend and then the following weekend, please go to our HFC website and get tickets right away. When we say limited seating, we mean how many seats would you say in that?
A grand total of 40 seats in the room, so only 200 seats available for the entire run, and many of them are gone.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Time is of the essence. Good thing we're live, right? Jump on there now, everybody. And while you're on the website, click over to WHFR and make your donation, make your pledge of support today as we celebrate 40 years of broadcasting to this campus and to this community. John Michael Saffel, thank you so much for your time.
If I could
today.
Put in one last plug regarding going over to that site and donating, I just did it. And I have to say, it was much easier than donating to NPR. Click, done. So easy. Take those couple of seconds and get it done. Thank you so much. And thank you, Susan, and everyone, for all that you do.
You're too kind. Our pleasure. So great to have you. Thanks today. We'll let you get back to your busy day. We know that we've all got them, but we appreciate you taking that moment and honoring the legacy of WHFR, the legacy of Henry Ford College. That brings us here to you today. Maybe you're listening in the car at 89.3 FM, or you're on the web at WHFR.FM, or you're catching us on an app somewhere, perhaps on your phone. You know, you can say, Alexa, play WHFR, and she does. I have couple other beefs about Alexa, which we won't get into today. But ultimately, it is to provide programming, to provide content, little else or not at all, presented on the radio dial, in the theater arena, and elsewhere. So we're so excited to be here. Bob, do you have a quick something you can pop over to? And we're going to do a switcheroo again here, and we're going to spend our last 15 minutes reminiscing and tooting the horn of WHFR as we celebrate 40 years as we are live on today's edition of the WHFR Journal.
Well, we can run that theater promo once again.
Let's do it.
Coming to the Black Box Theater at Henry Ford College, Gruesome Playground Injuries, Rajiv Joseph's tale of friendship, wounds, and healing. Follow these childhood friends over the course of 30 years as they compare the scars and calamities that keep drawing them together. Due to strong language and frank conversations about difficult topics, audience discretion is advised. Come join Kayleen and Doug for a story of injuries, the scars they leave, and the stories we gain. The play runs April 18th through the 26th here at Henry Ford College on Evergreen Road in Dearborn. Tickets are now on sale through the college website, hfcc.edu. For more information, call 313-845-6478. That's 313-845-6478.
And we are back, WHFR.FM. One of the reunions of sorts is a WCAR reunion. Yeah, I know, I just mentioned another call letter, so I won't necessarily plug that station, but plug those that have come out of that station, and that includes Richard Pyatt, includes...
And you.
Oh, thank you, Scott Greenberg, and we grabbed a few other people, Bob Burnham, we know when we see good talent, and we want to keep that going. Jay Kornick, always really good at sort of encouraging students to step beyond their potential in terms of content creation and so on. And we've got some really good stuff out there right now on the air here, and we hope you're enjoying it, including, of course, the classical programming in the overnights, this journal show, and what are some other shows you guys are enjoying these days?
I made a short list here, Susan. So, college professors, we could go on for hours, lecturing, but no, seriously. First of all, I was on WCAR radio too.
Mm-hmm.
This was almost 30 years ago when I turned 50, a young whippersnapper of 50. And Susan and Richard were on the air together, and they called and put me on the air with them to wish me happy birthday.
Did we do that?
We
that
did.
Sounds like
I still have the cassette.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. It is unbelievable. These guys, they really get around. Mm. No, really, I was listening over the last couple of weeks. Normally, I listen, you say, well, you're still listening to WHFR since you retired in 2017. Sure, every now and then. And Susan is just a fantastic general manager who gives the focus and the inspiration and the creativity that keeps all the programming so wonderful. And of course, we have great mentoring, too, because I think almost a third of our current volunteer staff who are on the air have been here for more than 15 years.
Yeah.
And you wonder why they sound so good. Well, they practice and they get feedback. I have to say I was very surprised, although I knew Phil Mack when he was here with his theme attic and all his theme-oriented shows while I was here for many years. And he was doing a folk-oriented show on Wednesday afternoon for, I think, like 4 hours with guests in the studio. I don't know if you were here, Bob, for that, because it was just high-tech like crazy. And he was just doing the most professional job I've ever heard, except for Richard, of course, and Susan. But, I mean... I said, wow, this guy is just holding this great discussion and all the plugs for Radiothon, and I think he got a lot of phone calls, too. I mean, they're performing live right here in the studio. Of course, folk artists, a guitar and a mic is all they need in many cases. And so I was so impressed. But many of the other DJs, too. And I will say that every Sunday morning, I always catch Terrence Tyson on his jazz show. That is a wonderful way to chill out on Sundays. He plays some challenging jazz, but not like Pat Frisco. Sorry, Pat. I love your show, too. And congratulations on all your efforts still here at WHFR. But I also love that we're still doing classical overnight. And people need to know that that is, of course, a live stream service, and we pay a lot of money. In fact, I think it may be the largest portion of the WHFR budget just for the rights to broadcast that show every night and a little bit into the mornings here. And no other station is doing that in the Detroit area so well. And, of course, those people are total professionals. But, I love the fact we continue with that. But that needs your support. WHFR.fm is the place to make a donation. We only do this once a year officially, you know, folks. We don't bother you by all these plugs. But you can always donate at WHFR.fm if you want to.
And by the way, John Michael was correct. It is easy. A couple little clicks on the website right. to make that donation, WHFR.fm.
And some wonderful incentives, 40th anniversary special incentives, too, if you want to commemorate the 40th year of WHFR. Only happens once, you know.
That's right. That mention about the classical at night, we all go back to the days where we turned the transmitter off at, 9 o'clock at night or something. It didn't come back on until 9 the next morning or something. So this is showing how the station has grown over the years thanks to your support. And now you're here 24 hours a day.
It's mm-hmm. still coming via the dish mm-hmm. on the roof?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a special signal that comes through the satellites, folks. And that dish, by the way, is not cheap either. It's on top of this building. And and just so you know, that was a major cost, but most of it was paid the last time we had to replace it, which is about 10 years ago while I was here, by a special grant from National Public Radio.
Hmm.
Imagine a federal government sending grant money to a local independent radio station. Well, through NPR, and we had a meet all their criteria and how professional we were and staff numbers and so on.
It's notable, too, because there are NPR stations in Detroit
right,
and nearby,
right.
but they chose to support yep. here as well.
And we get other programming via the satellite, too, that we use. Sometimes we used to use them for holidays or Martin Luther King. And so we can survey those in advance and download them or put them on live if we need to. Mountain Stage is still here. What a fantastic show. It's now on Mondays?
It's just shifted. Go ahead, Bob.
It's on twice a week, actually.
Twice a week, great.
It airs on, it does air on Monday,
right.
but it airs on Saturday.
Great.
Here, I'm kind of the one who delivers it to the radio station. I package it up with all of our IDs and stuff,
right.
and we have one of our great volunteers who runs it on the weekend.
Right. That is just a fantastic show done by public radio down in West Virginia. In fact, one time they came to Michigan, and we were actually out there doing remote broadcast that day in Ann Arbor at the Power Center, of all places, when they did their whole live show, which was then, of course, put on their website and sent up via satellite, too. But very exciting, all-independent, new indie and alternative and jazz and folk artists. It fits right in with our WHFR local programming and all those formats, too. And then thank you today, Philosophy Talk, for all you philosophers out there. And I think everybody should get a little more philosophical if they can, you know. Coming up after this show, Highway 61, The Best in Blues. Always loved that. For many years, I was a co-producer of that show. And the Journal.
Yeah, here we are. An institution, by the way.
Highway 61. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, my brother's traveling right now, he is on Highway 60. He took a picture and sent it to me, literally the Highway 61
the sign.
And I could pull it up. I got very excited when I saw that. I'm like, I sometimes forget that that's the real Highway 61, and that's the inspiration for the music. And that has been again truly an institution, as you said, here at the station. So many shows that we are proud to say have lived through different iterations, even different hosts, over the years for a number of reasons. We have had some just incredible talent come through. Some have stepped on to bigger and better things, other things. Others we lost along the way, and we're going to sort of honor some legacy during this 40th year as we continue to do some special things leading up to our birthday on December 20th. But that longevity, I think, is partnered and tempered with some of the brand new shows that have popped in over the years and the months. And we are running still our 8-week staff training class. It's called Intro to WHFR Radio. It's a class that anybody can take. And we recruit really good new talent that way. And so it's so exciting to see those classes fill up, and we're bringing in some people that are just kind of interested in this stuff. And
That class experience is listed on the Dearborn Adult Ed catalog and schedule, too. So you can be right in there. You don't have to enroll as big time and academic credit if you don't want to. Anyone, I guess you have to be an adult or maybe high school at least, anyway, can take it through the Dearborn Adult Education Program. And just go to the Dearborn Education website, whatever that is. And that's another great way to get into the class. We had many volunteers over the years that did join. Some were retired people, seniors here, that I always wanted to be a DJ, or they always loved that older music or whatever, and we do all kinds here, so you can get involved either way, either for academic credit or certainly as an adjunct and part of the, the radio, TV, film area, it's just a great way to go. I wanted to say we had many events here on campus in the past, and I'm sure we'll have many more. But the three mentioning Highway 61 Blues, we actually recorded in three blues CDs from local Detroit blues artists. Uncut Detroit 1, 2, and 3. All are still available, one way or the other. I don't think there's any hard copies of Uncut 1. But it took a little while. I went to Apple Music. And Apple Music is just pushing their streaming service. You can get everything for $10 or $15 a month. Well, if you really work at it, there is a Apple Music store, and you can get the download for Uncut 1, 2, and 3. I play them almost all the time myself, rotate, of course, at home, because they're just still so great. It was a wonderful period in Detroit blues. And of course now it's a whole new period, but it's just great. So highly recommend Uncut 1, 2, and 3. And the first two were actually recorded live in concert in this building in our big banquet facility out there, and also we did for 4 or 5 years something called Holistic Fair. So if you're into that new age stuff, what they used to call it, those were very successful for us, for fun runners. Credit goes to Lynn Grunst, who passed away, unfortunately, and Mike Holloway, who has retired from WHFR now, but was just both of them were fantastic volunteers here. And, of course, the record show is coming up again in September. 9th annual, I believe, right? Mike Darinowski.
Actually, I
10th?
Want to say, let me think about that. I thought we were in double digits at this point. Aren't we all? We may have to. I know it's on our website, Richard.
I saw it.
The GM
today
that he
when
is
I was there.
Is going to just check that out.
The date, it is the date is September 20th, 2025. Mm-hmm. This year for that. This says 16th. Annual.
I really thought 16th. It was pretty.
How about that?
Yeah, talk about an institution, not unlike homecoming, which we are in. Certainly in 30-something years of homecomings. And join us again in August, first, second, and third. We're going to be there. Your point, we get out and about. It's not just making great radio. Right. It is all of those other support things and some of the intangibles as well. Richard, in our last couple of moments here as our former host and general manager of WHFR, what are some things you'd like to kind of wrap up with today?
Boy, you talked about Highway 61. It made me think of Joanne Korchinska, of course, who the blues scene, she was immersed in it, which is testimony to the volunteerism spirit here and the opportunities that exist that you support, listener-supported WHFR. She's a great example of that from the past, to the extent that it was so well connected to the blues scene that I remember. You might remember Johnny Bassett. Mm-hmm. Johnny Bassett and the Blues Insurgents. Yeah. Johnny's gone now. But after I moved to Kalamazoo, he and his band came and played at Bell's Brewery. Everybody knows Bell's now, which originated in Kalamazoo. And I walked up to him, and the first thing he said to me before I even said anything was, "You worked with Joanne."
Oh.
he remembered me through her. Yeah. But she is just an example of the folks who here really represented us well.
And that's a great segue to our next show that is coming on, Kitty Love, and continuing on the tradition of Highway 61 as we wrap up this live edition of the Journal and we celebrate Radiothon 2025. 313-845-9676, option one. That's 313-845-9676, option one. Feel free to call or just jump on that website, whfr.fm, and we will help you make that pledge in any way that that we can. Thank you, Jay Koronick. Thank you, Richard Pyatt. Thank you, Bob Burnham and John Michael Seffel and Steve Glazer and just all of the wonderful, talented crew and hosts of these amazing shows here on WHFR as we showcase and celebrate Radiothon 2025. This is our 40th. It's the big one. Keep an eye out to our website. Keep listening on 89.3 FM as we share opportunities to continue to celebrate 40 years here at WHFR. We need to have you back. The door is always open.
We'll be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
That'll wrap up this edition of the Journal, Bob. We'll let you transition us over, and we're going to head down to Highway 61.
Thank you. From the campus of Henry Ford College, you're listening to WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists. Stand by for Kitty Love and Highway 61.
Yes, I travel it all the time. That's